Do you like film? Do you like comedy? Do you like your childhood memories?
One more take?
Yeah.
Lewis and Pete's Bad Nostalgia Film Club.
Each episode sees comedian Lewis Charlesworth and Pete Phillipson revisit a classic childhood film through the eyes of an adult to see how messed up it truly is. Be it Back to the Future for its story of incest, Mrs. Doubtfire for its tale of the creepy cross-dressing father babysitter, or Home Alone with its sinister home invasion toddler torturer nightmare.
Bad Nostalgia.
The Disney series.
Yo. Yes, I managed to shut the fuck up.
Yes.
As I said,
you let that Disney series play out.
I let it play out, baby.
But only because I told you to shut up.
Because you did tell me to shut up behind the scenes. I was holding my mouth. I took a picture of me doing it so I could put it out there for all our fans, including my... Well, I am our own fans, aren't I? I love listening to the show myself.
You do, mate, yeah.
I'm a massive, massive fan of this show you're listening to right now, which is called Bad Nostalgia, and it's Series 3. It's the flipping Disney series, as I said before, brothers, and you all heard it for once. We've been having a great time, haven't we?
I can't, mate.
How many episodes have we done now?
I think this is the fourth now.
The fourth?
Yeah, mate.
It's not, it's the fifth.
Is it the fifth?
Yeah, we've done Aladdin, Lion King, Beauty and the Beast, Pinocchio,
yeah.
And now it's Pocahontas.
Oh, my God.
We've only got, as well as this one, we've got two more episodes and then we're done for this series. It's gone by so quickly.
I felt, like, so sad then when you said that.
Did you feel a bit sad?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you feel like something's going to be missing from your life when it comes to Tuesday night?
It is, yeah.
I bloody well feel like that, mate.
I'm going to be sad. I think I'm probably just going to... I'm just going to prepare for... No, do you know what? I'm just going to sit and just...
Watch the Teletubbies and make notes about how shit it is. And
yeah. I'm just going to ruin my childhood with other things just to keep the momentum going.
What other things could you ruin from your childhood if they weren't films?
Oh, do you know what? I might go Saved by the Bell.
Saved by the Bell?
Maybe Hang Time.
Hang Time.
Bit of Dawson's Creek.
This is a bit like a brainstorm meeting for the next series.
Bucky O'Hare.
Do you
remember that?
You were a BBC child, weren't you?
Yeah, mate.
No, I was ITV through.
Was you?
Art Attack, mate.
Art Attack.
Big time. Look at this. Oh, if you were listening to this and you're a child of the 80s and 90s, you'd be right. You'd be in your zone.
What was that show called as well? Was it WAP? ZAM? What was it called?
WAP, ZAM.
WAP.
What's Zam?
It had all those different... There was Daisy Dares You, and then there was... What was it?
It was called... New
Zap.
I think it was called Zap. Neil Buchanan was in it. It wasn't called WAP.
WAP. Was that show? Yeah, WAP. Yeah, great.
Great, no. But you are here listening to Bad Nostalgia, where we talk about the best kids' films from the 80s and 90s and prior to that, and we revisit them with adult eyes, and we tell you why they're so fucked up, don't we, Pete?
We do, mate, yes.
That's what we like to do. And this week, we have got the one and the only Pocahontas. Do you want to do that little song you were going to start off with?
For glory, golden god, and the Virginia Company.
That was beautiful, Pete.
Thank you so much, mate. Do you know what? That has been stuck in my head, I would say a week. It hasn't been all week, because I only wrote the show last night.
Yeah.
But it has...
Actually, I wrote it today.
Did you?
Yeah. And when we say right, people, this is obviously unscripted.
Yeah, yeah.
But we mean our thoughts that we're going to bring to the table.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah. That song, basically, there's a lot of imperialism in Pocahontas, so I won't go into it now.
Don't get ahead of yourself. This is preamble, mate. This is lovely, just juice time.
But that song's horrific, because it's just talking about going and, you know, terrorising the people.
Yes.
But it's so catchy, that song.
It's very
I've had
catchy.
It in my head
That's
all day at work.
That's one of the beautiful things about Pocahontas.
Someone at work is like, what are you singing? And I'm just like, just like a rape and pillage song.
It's like just whistling the Nazi Germany national anthem to yourself. I'm like, oh, what's that? That's a nice tune. What is it?
Yeah.
Nothing, mate. Spice Girls. Good.
It is. Do you know what? Musically, it's because I'm not talking about how inappropriate it is now, but musically, it's a great film.
The score is so good, man. This is a beautiful segue, really, into the nostalgia music, really.
Absolutely,
isn't it? So let's hit it. So, as you were saying, Pete, the music is such a plus from this film.
Yeah,
and
I
actually forgot how good the music was.
Yeah, yeah.
I think we've been. assessing the big hitters of the Disney Renaissance. Yeah, we've already covered Beauty and the Beast, Little Mermaid, Lion King and Aladdin. That's the big four. That's United and your Arsenal and your Chelsea, innit, mate?
Yeah.
Maybe you can tell I've not watched football for quite a while.
I've never heard you talk about football ever.
The big four. United, big four. Arsenal, Chelsea and what was the other one? Liverpool.
And you know what? I don't know much about football, but I don't think they're the big four anymore, mate. Now,
I know they don't.
It's like Leicester.
Yeah, Scunthorpe.
It's not Scunthorpe.
I know that's probably not true, but I actually don't know. It could be Scunthorpe for all I know.
Anyway, isn't talk sport.
Let's get bogged down in pretend football talk.
Bloody hell. Yeah.
Sorry. Right, let's get some focus going. Pocahontas.
Yeah.
1995.
95?
90 bloody five, mate.
Really?
Yeah, we had a little bit of a kind of digression with Pinocchio, where we went right back when I was minus 45 and you were minus 46, always 1 year's difference.
Yeah.
Now we're coming back in the modern era, back in the Disney Renaissance. We're working chronologically through. We started with Little Mermaid in 89, we're moving through, and now we're getting up to the point in 1995, towards the tail end of the Disney Renaissance, with Pocahontas.
I do remember being a little bit older.
I remember being that. Had a little bit more...
I remember being able to appreciate the film as a whole, like, you know, the music and everything,
right.
Like we were saying, yeah.
Like last week we were saying with Pocahontas, it kind of washed over you and the feelings were more impulsive and instinctive, but with this you were much more of a kind of sentient, logical being,
yeah.
With maybe little kind of bits of pubic.
Oh, mate, the Pocahontas, come on, let's talk about it.
I don't remember being sexually attracted to it that much I was a kid, so it must have been...
And this is okay, this isn't sexist, because this was back, people, when I was like 9 years old.
Exactly.
So it was okay for me to objectify Pocahontas. I was nine.
You were nine.
I didn't know about, you know...
Misogyny.
You
thought it was the right way to be.
I was nine.
Lincoln.
I saw Pocahontas. Leave Lincoln out of it, mate.
Sorry.
One episode.
It's always a cheap shot.
It's a great county.
Yeah.
It's not. But I remember being really attracted to her. It wasn't a sexual thing. It was just, she was just like an angel, wasn't she?
Yeah,
she was great.
Oh, she's looking at her now as well. Although
yeah,
I
yeah.
know we're still transporting ourselves back to 1995, but oh, mama,
yeah.
She is an absolute goddess, isn't she? Absolutely beautiful. And you appreciated that back then when you were nine years old.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just, and I think. It's a bit of a weird one, really, because I remember the music from it, but apart from that, I don't remember that. But the thing is, I
don't remember very much at all.
This is the weird thing. I remember watching it loads, but I can't remember how it made me feel. I can't remember specific scenes from it. I just remember that I used to watch it a lot, and that is it. So I must have loved it.
You did watch it a lot, then, did you? Is that why you knew the words to the racist song at the beginning? Because it's imprinted on your memory because you watched it again and again.
Well, and the fact I'm a racist, yeah.
Well, that and the fact
that
I'm a racist, it's obviously playing to your strengths and your beliefs.
Lincoln.
Just got to put this out there, because it's the first time you've listened to this. It's going to be relevant for Pocahontas because it deals in race relations, okay? I'm probably going to say some really dodgy, weird stuff, but it's okay because I'm a brown gentleman, all right?
Yeah.
It's all in the name of irony.
Yeah,
okay,
and I'm not racist,
and
just
Pete's
so you know.
And not racist, just so you know.
Because Lewis...
That sounded like a really over-the-top disclaimer. That makes people who sat there listening thinking, oh my God, what's he about to say? Mate, I'm on point. I am PC, but I'm probably going to say some things that are just a bit out there, that's all. I'm coming from a good place. I am a bloody, bleeding heart liberal black man, all right? But just strap yourselves in, because there's going to be a lot of race relations stuff in this episode. I'm just saying. That's all I'm saying. I only watched this film once, and it was at the cinema. It's the only film we've done where it's at the cinema.
Was it an Odeon? Was it a showcase?
Showcase? What the hell's that? What's showcase?
Isn't that like
is
a
that
90s
a real
sort
cinema?
Of cinema?
We're just going to Uncle Barry's house to watch a film at the showcase. It's weird how the showcase screens look like Barry's TV. He likes to serve me his own popcorn.
The showcase with a hole cut in the bottom.
Yeah.
The showcase cinema was. I don't know if they're still going. I just remember them in the 90s.
Is that real?
Yeah.
Think about it.
In Lincolnshire, we've got a kinema in the woods. Not a cinema, a kinema.
Kinema?
Yeah.
What are you doing? What's going on here? What's a kinema?
Mate, it's a little tiny cinema in the woods in Woodall Spa.
Why have they changed the first letter?
I don't know, but there's a piano, like a ghost piano, that comes up and starts playing. And then it goes down. It's a little cinema in the woods.
This is beginning to sound really, actually, quite intriguing and exciting.
Yeah, it is.
You've got a little fucking piano.
I hated it as a kid. I don't know if I... Did I see Pocahontas there? Do you know what? I even might have done.
You might have seen it in the cinema, mate.
Yeah.
You were 9 years old. We were old enough to be taken out.
It's the cinema.
The cinema.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I only saw it once, and I had hardly any memory of it at all, which I think is really telling. It just means it made not much of an impression, to be honest.
Yeah.
I think. So I remembered very little, didn't remember any of the songs, didn't remember much of the story. If I had to tell you anything about it based on my nostalgia, it was that it was about Pocahontas, the Native American, and the imperialists who came over. I had a vague memory of that contrast, Romeo and Juliet kind of narrative that was going on.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be able to tell you anything else. I wouldn't have been able to tell you anything about the characters.
Me neither.
Nothing. Just that there was a lot of confrontation going on.
Yeah.
That's all I literally could have told you about it.
Yeah.
Right, so we've done 15 minutes so far, and we've achieved nothing. So, shall we crack on and play them the original trailer from back in the day?
Let's do it, mate.
Let's do it, brother.
She was the daughter of a chief.
She has her mother's spirit. She goes wherever the wind takes her.
Come down here!
And she lived a life of freedom.
No, not that way.
He was an explorer, searching for adventure in a new land.
Come on, man. We didn't come all this way just to look at it.
Let us hope they do not intend to stay.
I'm counting on you to make sure those heathens don't disrupt our mission.
I made it myself.
But though their worlds were very different...
These pale visitors are strange to us. No one is to go near them.
Their destinies were one. Walt Disney Pictures comes the story of an American legend.
Who are you?
Pocahontas.
Come round the hidden pine trails of the forest. Come taste the sun-sweet berries of the earth. Come roll in all the riches all around you. And for once, never wonder what there were.
Hello, John Smith.
The tree is talking to me.
You should talk back.
He's handsome, too.
Oh, I like her.
She believed in her dreams.
Hawkworm has asked to seek your hand in marriage.
I think my dream is pointing me down another path.
Followed her heart.
What are you doing here?
I had to see you again.
You'll be turning your back on your own people.
I can't believe you.
And found a love that changed the world.
Let the spirits of the earth guide you.
I love him, Father.
Bravo!
On June 23rd, Disney presents its all-new 33rd full-length animated motion picture.
I look once more, just around the riverbend, beyond the shore, somewhere past the sea.
With music by Academy Award winner Alan Menken, and lyrics by award-winning lyricist Stephen Schwartz.
And you'll never hear the wolf cry to the blue.
This summer, experience the adventure.
Until you can paint with all the colors of the wind.
Pocahontas.
Absolutely gorgeous. I really enjoyed that.
That was a beefy trailer, mate.
It was beefy. I like that use of that word, mate. Beefy. It was beefy as in big and substantial.
And really long.
I had a little nap, to be honest. Yeah, I'm sure our listeners did as well. And if you did, wake up.
Yeah.
It's time to slam it
down,
brothers. Sticking around the sound effect there. By the way, I'm still driving the show, in case you've noticed. And we do wish Michelle very well. She is well. She's just taking it a bit easy. And she will be back next series, definitely. And we miss her very much still, don't we?
We do, mate. We do.
We do very much.
We've got no one to feed her our egos here in the studio.
Yeah. So much of what I say is motivated by trying to break Michelle.
Because we obviously think we're hilarious. We've got some stuff prepared that we think is going to be funny, but we've got no one outside us to laugh along for us to look at and go, they're laughing, this must be funny. Yeah. We don't know.
There's no other barometer telling us whether it's funny or not. It's just each other.
There's Gav. Yeah.
But he's not here at the moment. It's the next day where Gavin tells me whether something landed or not. Right now, I have no idea, and that's not me.
Oh, I thought Gav just loved everything.
Gavin does love everything, but although he told me that the Pinocchio was his least favourite.
Oh!
Not because of us, because of the film.
The film was hot. Yeah. Let's not go there.
Let's not get bogged down in a kind of Pinocchio willow kind of bog. Okay, so let's... Oh, I'd like to see that. No, I wouldn't. Willow Bog. That's just be like a swamp made up of small people. Right, okay. So, here we go. We have Pinocchio. We're going to tear it a new bomb, and we're going to show you what it's all about.
It's Pocahontas, not Pinocchio, mate.
Sorry, both begin with P.
I can see how you got that confused.
Yeah, sorry about that. In a nutshell as well, we won't get bogged down in any kind... There's so much bog around, isn't
there? There is, mate, yeah.
There's lots of bog.
You can't stop the bog.
And manure. We won't get bogged down anymore with synopses. I'll give you it absolutely in a nutshell. There is some imperial bastards, and it's around about the 16th century or whatever, when America was discovered. They come over to America, see lots of Native Americans, Red Indians, whatever the PC term is. I really don't know.
I don't think there was at the time.
I don't think there is any more.
I think filthy heathens
thing now that we should agree on?
I think it's is it Native American?
But even the word native sounds a bit dodge.
Yeah.
Doesn't it? But Native American rather than Native Indian.
Yeah.
Why?
A Native American Indian.
That's a mouthful for the show, mate.
I don't know.
We'll go with Native American.
Yeah. Let's not go with filthy heathens.
No.
Because that would be...
Or redskins.
Or savages.
All the other awful derogatory terms that they use in this film. They come over, they see lots of Native Americans, they plunder them, one of their kind falls in love with Pocahontas, and they have a bit of a Romeo and Juliet kind of romance. He almost dies, he has to go back home, she says goodbye, bittersweet ending, the end. Pretty much is the story. There's not much to the plot in this film, is there?
I'm just gutted that it's not my turn to do the synopsis this week.
Really?
I hate the synopsis because it's the bit where we have to be serious.
It's the admin.
And last week I did Pinocchio and it sounded like I was making a film up on the spot because it was that ridiculous. So I'm gutted, but well done. Great synopsis.
No, I loved your synopsis last week because you it just the look on your face was like, I can't believe the words that are coming out of my mouth. But it's radio. You can't understand that joke because it involves seeing the look on his face. Moving on. So we start the film. Opening scene. We like to begin with the opening scene, don't we?
Yes, mate.
And what do we have? We have your lovely song that you sung before.
Yes, mate. For Glory, God and Gold and the Virginia Company.
Which is essentially a big, glorious, imperialist chant.
Glory, they mean just taking over the land, probably just shagging the native women. Gold, draining their resources. And God, indoctrinating them with their religion.
Yeah. So...
Yeah.
Total exploitation on a mass scale in every single way you can imagine is the opening number for this child's film, maybe just remind you.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've been talking about lots of really these films, like Aladdin and Beauty and the Beast, where it's kind of, there's lots of dodgy stuff, but it's all implicit, it's all under the surface.
Yeah.
This film wears its white supremacy on its sleeve.
Yeah, yeah.
Pretty much, doesn't it? It is the cartoon equivalent of just some neo-Nazi goose stepping down your street in these swastika Long Johns, isn't it? That's what this film is, pretty much.
Yeah.
And we're opening it with a bang, like, we are white and we are proud and we will take the brown people's land and fucking kill it all. And that is essentially what the opening number is about.
Do you know what the really bad thing is? Before I watched the film, I tell a lie, there is one thing that I can remember from when I was a kid, and that's that I thought that the Indians were the baddies. I thought they were actual, like, savages, because this is all I had. Because the white English men were going like, oh, we're going to fight them filthy.
Right.
They're filthy. I was like, oh, well, they must have done something. If you'd have asked me, asked me as a kid, what have the Indians done? I don't know what I would have said. I would have been like, well, they're just running around, aren't they, being all Indian-y.
But because these white men are hating them, you're going to copy them because you're a child.
Yeah,
that's what I mean. There's no other film we've done so far. Are you so, like... Dubbies does present such morally ambiguous characters where you're not too sure what is good and what is evil.
Yeah.
It's like, well, it's a kid's film. You need to pretty much say, this is the baddie, this is the goodie, side with this person and follow them and you will be a good child. It's like the lines between Blur, the good and evil, the line between the two is totally blurred in this film, which makes it very confusing for a child.
Your
hero is a guy who is the leader of the white supremacists, who's got blonde hair, blue eyes, and is voiced by Mel fucking Gibson.
Mate, I did not know
Gibson.
Did you know it was Mel Gibson before you watched it? Did you know it was Mel Gibson?
I didn't.
How fitting is that?
Yeah, I know.
It's perfect.
Big, fat, anti-Semitic, misogynist.
Is this why he took the film role? Is this why he took it?
It's about 10 years before his outburst, but bloody hell,
Do you think they called him up and they were like, Mel, we want you to do a Disney film. He's like, I'm not doing a Disney film, mate. I do like the Lethal Weapon films, mate. I'm a badass. I'm like a badass
Danny
actor.
Danny Glover's my best mate.
Yeah, Danny Glover's my best mate. You know,
I'm
like an action hero, mate. I'm not doing a Disney film. It's like, well, mate, it's kind of about white supremacy. It's like, I'm in. I'm doing it. I'm there. Who am I playing? John Smith. Brilliant. White name. Love it. Send me the script.
Blue eyes. I'm in.
Send me the script. You know what? I'll improvise. Filthy heathens. Get that in there.
How does he meet Poker Hunters the first time they meet? Oh, he tries to shoot her. Yeah, I'm there. But in the end, he shags her because she's fit. I'm there, mate. It's fine.
Yeah.
Is it about me? Is this a bio? The Mel Gibson story? The Passion of the Mel? Yeah, I'm there.
The Passion of the Mel?
I said The Passion of the Mel.
All right. I thought you said The Passion of the Mel.
Which is funny enough in its own right. But The Passion of the Mel, that's good.
That's so funny, though, that.
Or did they give him a questionnaire? They handed out these questionnaires. Do you hate brown people? Yes. Okay. Do you want to play the part? Yes, please.
And Billy Connolly as well. The crew is just a collection of just absolute scum, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, they're just all these beer... You've got a beer-swirling Cockney, this, like, drunk, aggressive, like, Scotsman, this, like, sort of blonde-haired, blue-eyed Australian guy. And you were saying there, like, the first time he meets Pocahontas, it's so messed up as well. Like, he actually nearly goes to kill her.
That's the first time they meet each other.
Yeah.
He's pointing his gun at her because she's got brown skin.
Yeah.
And it's like... As the first meetings go between the lead heroine and hero of a children's cartoon, I could think of more kind of subtle ways that they would meet rather than he tries to shoot her head off.
Yeah, and also it's messed up as well because the only reason he doesn't is because he finds her really attractive, obviously.
Exactly.
If that was a fat little Native American Indian on a rock, he'd have just blown his brains off.
It'd be a different story. Yeah. That's a point I've got as well. It literally, like, it only bridges the gap between the two races.
Yeah,
The two races is because she is mega, mega hot. If she was a munter, he would kill her and they'd be like, so what, did you meet Pocahontas? Yeah, she was fat, I killed her. Should we go and take some land? The end. That would be the end of the film.
It's like racism and sexism just rolled into one, isn't it? And it's a Disney film.
It's amazing. So we start to meet Pocahontas for the first time
.
And they're like, oh, she's very much like in the vein of Belle from Beauty and the Beast.
Mate, it's the same, isn't it? All these films. And I didn't realise as a kid, you've got this beautiful female protagonist who wants to sort of break free from like the world
provincial
that's been given
life.
To her. Yeah, it's the same.
Life.
It's the same with Ariel and Little Mermaid. Yeah. She didn't want to be under the sea. Belle just read all the time. She wanted to experience something that was like out of herself. Jasmine in Aladdin, she wanted to, you know, go and live with all the street rats and everything. It's the same thing in every film.
And it's a weird kind of contradiction because initially it seems quite feminist where it's like, well, there's more to this girl. She doesn't just want to be a housewife. She doesn't want to just be a provincial, have just a provincial life. She wants to go out and make something of herself.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's a really positive message for little kids. But it's like, when she does go out there and do something with herself and lives happily ever after, what is it that defies her life? Just being with a man.
Yeah.
Just settling down with a nice white guy. That's the extent of her ambition. Fulfilled. Oh, yeah, it's in the big city. Oh, so what are you doing? You're starting your own business? No, I'm just shagging this guy.
Just shagging this massive racist.
We've all got to have ambitions.
And as well, it's awful because with this film, the thing that Pocahontas has this desire to sort of break free from the confines of sort of her life, but the thing that almost presents that to her in a way and sort of gives her that opportunity is something that's coming to just destroy a race.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? There's no, like, it's not like Ariel who goes out from the sea to Earth and like has a great time and like loves it. This is like the only option she has is this like, army of people that's just coming to destroy like her land.
Yeah,
it's really bad.
There's wanting to have like a bit of danger in your life, a bit of excitement, and there's like just trying to get with someone who lives amongst loads of people who want you and your people dead.
Yeah,
it's kind of like a little bit extreme. So she's a lovely girl, and she wants to get out of the provincial life, and she has all these dreams, and she believes in all these dreams. She's like, what do they mean? What's going to happen to me? And then her father sings the river song. And I'm going to do The Song Is Fucked Up eventually in the second half of the film, but I could literally do The Song Is Fucked Up about any of the songs in this film.
Yeah,
because they're all pretty dodge.
Yeah,
This is where we have the song with her father, who sings her a little song about rivers.
Yeah.
Because he uses a river as a metaphor for life, and says, and tries to kind of rein her in and say, don't go out there, enjoy what you've got in front of you, live within your means, don't be too adventurous. And he's saying, life is like a river, it takes the easiest course. You should be like a river and take the easiest route, have an easier life.
Which
is a metaphor that is really dodgy, because it's basically saying, love, just stick to your own.
Don't
go out going with someone who's got different coloured skin, because if you do, you'll meet racism, oppression, prejudice. Just stick to your own, have an easier life. And then he says his piece, and it's a bit dodge, really.
You know,
he's racist in his own right. And then she kind of takes that on, that idea, and she undermines it. And then she says, oh, well, in song form, obviously, she also says, well, a river, if you think about it, does take the easiest course, but when you go down a river in your canoe, it may have taken the easiest course, but it still presents loads of different opportunities and excitement and surprising things. A river is really exciting, actually, if you think about it. So her retort to him is kind of like saying, yeah, okay, I might go for the easiest route, and I might marry Pink Barry, who lives at the end of the street, who is an accountant, who's on 30 grand a year, who's the safe option, will provide me with two up, two down, nice two kids. But 3 years into the marriage, I might find that he's keeping severed heads in the garage fridge.
I love where that went. I was like, what's he heading towards? Severed heads in a fridge. Disney.
Oh God, it's really hot in the studio.
Also, she goes to that willow tree or whatever it is. That woman that's also a tree.
Is that her gran?
I don't know.
It's
I don't think
Simba
so.
Very Simba and his far and Mufasa.
I don't think
thing,
it's his gran because it's a tree.
Right. But it's an old woman's face in the tree.
It's an old woman's face in a tree. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know what? Is she on drugs?
I don't know.
Is she like?
But she
from like the shaman.
She makes lots of wisecracks, doesn't she?
Oh, God, is that what it is? Are they all on drugs from the shaman or something? Are they?
I don't know, mate.
But anyway, she's having this dream that there's a spinning arrow coming towards her.
Yeah.
And she keeps talking about this spinning arrow. And in the end, the arrow just ends up being Mel Gibson.
Why is Mel Gibson the arrow? What the hell is all that about?
I don't know, but like she's saying the spinning arrow. She says the spinning arrow represents the path that you need to take.
Right, okay.
And that ends up being Mel Gibson.
I don't like this whole having our heroine follow her dreams, because that's so misleading and not a good example for a little child to follow. Because dreams are so free. You shouldn't read into them too much. You shouldn't follow them too much. I mean, I had a dream the other day that there was some women who were being a bit, like, having a bit of a lesbian fondle.
I thought this was going to be something like really cryptic and like difficult to understand then. No, it's just you spaffing your pants in your sleep.
No, I'm making an interesting point, right? You shouldn't follow your dreams, because I had a dream that there was two girls having a lesbian fondle in the bed next to me, not in the same bed as me. And I was like, I wasn't turned on by it. I was like, can you just stop? I'm trying to sleep, because I'd work the next day or something. I didn't know who they were. And not only that, the bed was full of fleas.
Oh.
So what should I do with that, guys? Right, nothing, because dreams are full of shit. It means nothing. Don't follow Pocahontas' example, children. Don't follow your dreams, because they're made up of shit. Right, so let's have a little segue and talk about the second half of the film. Fantastic.
Bad nostalgia.
Except he hasn't got 'em.
will ruin your childhood.
Well, certainly bloody will ruin your childhood, and I believe we're getting more listeners out with Pete. I think it's growing.
We are, mate, yeah.
I think it's growing because we've done this little thing where we're adding all our Facebook friends, every single Facebook friend we've ever had. So organically, our listenership is going to grow. I feel very promising.
Me too, mate. It's going to end up like Searching for Sugar Man.
Oh, big time, mate. What, were we going to be like really big in Zimbabwe?
We're going to be really big in like South Africa, but we'll find out when we're 40. Me and you will go and like we'll both have our kids and that, and we'll be on like a little safari or something, and we'll just get mobbed. They'll be like, oh my god, it's Lewis and Pete.
Oh,
the Bad Nostalgia Film Club.
Oh, white Africans then. Good.
Yeah, well, we'll be
or they might go, oh, that's my black African impression.
Well, I'm not going to do the black African impression, am I?
That's the extent of my impression. Anyway, let's carry on with the film. So anything else from the second half? Things kick off with all the people, the different races are in conflict with each other, and John Smith falls in love with Pocahontas.
She sings that song to him. The thing that's depressing about this film is John Smith doesn't really change that much.
Doesn't.
He's not really like, whoa, these are the indigenous people, and you know, we just need to live, we need to leave them alone, that they're lovely, peaceful people. Pocahontas is singing a song to him about how you claim whatever land that you land on, and like John Smith is literally trying to shoot a bear while she's like while she's singing the song.
It's on the surface, his transformation, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit
like Nigel Farage allowing someone with a tan to move next door to his house.
Yeah.
There's a bit of progress.
Yeah.
But it's on the surface.
But nothing major, yeah.
David Dickinson is not black after all, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. That's exactly the kind of person Farage would live next door to, isn't it?
Yeah, David Dickinson. And then you've got the bit with... what one thing that really got me going, though, and it's so overt, and if you look at it, it's there, right?
Yeah.
And it's if you look for it, it's jumping out at you. It's not that subtle, right? It's the accents again. And I'm not repeating myself. It's not quite the same thing that we see in Aladdin, where they're kind of anglicising these Arab people by giving them these Californian accents, etc., etc. That's Dodge. This is Dodge in a way that kind of trumps that. All the Native Americans, the Indians, they speak with American accents.
Yeah.
Very strong American accents. And I've just got such an issue with that, because the invaders, the imperialists, the colonialists, are British, which is historically true.
Yeah.
But they ultimately did settle down there, and they plundered their land, and they took over, and then the Indians were marginalised, and most of them killed off, And the British became the Americans after many centuries, and they gained independence. But, you know, the British people were the ancestors of the Americans. There's no disputing that. So why in this film do we have Native Americans who speak with American accents, who feel, have the vibe of the American underdog fighting off the British invaders?
Yeah.
That is fucking back to front. You're juxtaposing the people who wiped out another race over the people who were enslaved themselves, so you can still remain self-righteous and portray yourself as the underdog against the evil British, when the British are the fucking Americans. What the fuck is going on? It's back to front. It's like making a cartoon of Gandhi back in the day and having to walk around saying, "You're right, pet." It's like, you can't do that. You can't put that accent on Gandhi. It's misleading.
What a Geordie accent.
You can't give Gandhi the voice of the person who enslaved him. What are you doing? You're eat. I love peace, me. Pacifist pet.
What do you think to Western civilization, Gandhi? I think it will be a fucking good idea.
Do you like my sandal? Right, it's getting a bit dodged now.
That was...
It's getting a bit dodged now, isn't it?
That was an Afghan accent, mate, I think.
I don't know what it was.
That was... I don't know...
do you like my sandal? I don't know.
Do you like my sandal? I just thought it was just racist in the fact that they... I mean, some of the things that the native Indian said, I don't think it was the actual dialect. There's an old man who makes things appear in the fire. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And they say, like, you know, show us the fire, show us what you got. And he just goes up to the fire and he's like,
I don't know if it's this, he's old or they're just singing. Well, what would a Native American sound like? It was like, yeah, it would probably sound like this old man. But just that's all noise. He does.
Just mouth noise.
Yeah. I'm not sure how well researched it was, but all he does.
It was incredibly badly researched.
Yeah.
The Native American people, representatives, offered to offer a lot of guidance and advice about how things would be, and the Disney team just went, nah, just fuck off a bit. So yeah, the answer is they did not want to even know about that. I think it's just ignorance, and they think it was so far in the history that no one would really be bothered. Really, it's like they're mythical creatures. Really, do what you like. You know,
it's a propaganda machine, isn't it?
Big time,
Disney.
Big time, mate. That's what we're exposing with this show. All right.
Yeah.
Let's love it. Let's enjoy it. Okay, so now I think it's time for a bit of That Song Is Fucked Up.
Yeah, mate. Yeah.
That song is fucked up. That song is fucked up. That song is fucked up. That song is fucked up.
Peter's totally got the giggles tonight, right? Right, so like I was saying, we're actually at Spoilt for Choice with That Song Is Fucked Up this week. But
I think I know what you're going for.
You know what I'm going to go for. I wouldn't be the man I am unless I picked the most obviously fucked up song in the film Pocahontas. I mean, this song is so fucked up, right? It's got its own Wikipedia page.
Really?
It's the only Disney song we've done so far that has its own Wikipedia page.
Oh my God.
Because of the content and the controversy. Nearly every single lyric... It's worth a build-up, so that's what I'm doing. Nearly every single lyric has been rewritten because it's so disturbing and so inappropriate. Yeah. They really overstepped the mark with this. So much of the film, you know, it deals with racism, and that's a potentially contentious thing, and it's dealt with incredibly delicately, so delicately at times that it's painful. It's like, just chill out a bit. But then with this song, it's like they just exploded with all that repressed kind of inappropriateness. It's just absolutely off the fucking scale.
Yeah. Right?
So just to set the scene, this song is called Savages. Savages. And it's from both sides of the fence. You've got the Native Americans who are calling the white invaders savages, and the white imperialists calling the Native Americans savages. And they offer their reasons as to why they call them savages through absolute sheer insane racism and blind prejudice. So let me just read it out for you. It's a bit epic, so I might skim over some bits, but I'm telling you, I tried to cut some out just to keep it a bit brief, but it's too hard. It's a dense manifestation of sheer hatred.
Yeah.
Right, so here we go. In the film Pocahontas, which is a U certificate. Okay, here we go. What can you expect from filthy little heathens? Okay, this is the white men about the Native Americans. Their whole disgusting race is like a curse. Okay, is this a quote from Hitler, right? Their skin's a hellish red. They're only good when dead. They're vermin, as I said. And worse. Even worse than that, right? English settlers sing, they're savages, savages. And now they say, barely even human. Savages, savages. Drive them from our shore, our shore. No, it's not your shore, mate. Fucking hell.
They've just arrived on a boat at the shore and never been there before.
Off my shore. I'm from Blackpool. I've arrived in Manhattan.
Get what are you doing here on the shore? What, the shore I've been on 20 years? Yeah, fuck off. It's my shore.
It's my shore. Get the fuck out of here. You've been here for 15 minutes. I've been here for 15 generations, mate. Your skin can't even keep up with the fucking sun. What are you doing? Right, get off my shore. They're not like you and me, which means they must be evil. Because they're not like me and you and me, they must be evil.
Brilliant.
It's like a pub in Oldham.
This is beyond racism. There's not even a reason.
He's not like you and me. He's not like you and me. He must be evil. That's right, Keith. He must be evil because he's not like you and me, is he? No. Right. We must sound the drums of war. They're savages. Savages. Dirty redskin devils. Redskin devils. Redskin is such like an aggressive, derogatory term in America now. Now we should sound the drums of war. And then it switches to the Native Americans. So you're like, oh, well, they're the baddies then. Let's see what the goodies have got to say. And this is what the goodies have to say. This is what we feared. The pale face is a demon. Pale face, right? How does that make you feel, Pete?
Well, I think fair enough. They're just at home, chilling out, these fucking drunk sailors just come.
Fair enough. The only thing they feel at all is greed. beneath that milky hide. There's emptiness inside. I wonder if they even bleed. The savages, savages, barely even human. Savages, savages, killers at the core. They're different from us. Here we go, back to Keith in the pub in Oldham. Which means they can't be trusted. Don't let them fucking time out your drive. We must sound the drums of war. The savages, savages. First we deal with this one. Then we sound the drums of war. Savages, savages. Let's go kill a few men. Savages, savages. Now it's up to you, men. Savages, savages. Barely even human. Now we sound the drums of war.
Oh, my God. Disney.
And that is actually the most catchy song in the whole film.
Yeah.
And I'm going to play it for you right now, people.
I told you those savages couldn't be trusted. Right. Smith tried to befriend them. Andrew, look what they've done to him.
That's right.
But now I say it's time to rescue our courageous comrade. At daybreak, we attack! What can you expect from filthy little heathens? Their whole disgusting race is like a curse. Their skins are hellish red. They're only good when dead. They're vermin, as I said, and worse. Sure, they're not like you and me, which means they must be evil. We must tell the drums of war.
They're savages, savages,
dirty redskin devils.
Now we sound the drums of war.
This is what we feared. The pale face is a demon. The only thing they feel at all is greed. Beneath that milky hide, there's emptiness inside.
I wonder if they even bleed.
They're savages, savages.
Barely even human.
Savages, savages.
Killers at the core, they're different from us, which means they can't be trusted. We must sound the drums of war.
They're savages, savages.
First we deal with this one,
then we sound the drums of war.
Let's go kill a few men.
Now it's up to you, men.
Savages, savages, barely even human. Now we sound the drums.
There you go. That was Savages, Savages, illustrated beautifully by the actual soundtrack. So
it's so it's like caveman racism. It's not because what do they say, they're nothing like us.
Yeah.
it's not like Keith in the pub in Oldham that's discovered like some little thing about a different culture that he doesn't like, and he starts the sentence by going, right, I'm not being racist, right, there's this thing they do that I'm not keen on, I'm not being racist. You could never get away with it with this song. You could never say like, well, I'm not being racist, but they're nothing like us.
Yeah.
It's so racist. It's beyond. I don't even know what the word
it's
for it is.
It's not dressed up or anything.
It's not dressed up.
It's really not.
Like, they are not. Songs, they're not us.
With songs, you've got like poetic, artistic license.
Yeah.
You could dress up the words. You could codify it a bit. It's like, no, I just hate him because he has white skin.
Yeah. With his bloody milky hide.
Milky hide. Yeah. Well, just to capitalise on that, I think I'm going to play this for you again.
That song is fucked up. That song is fucked up.
It is the ultimate song is fucked up. So
mate, it is.
That song is fucked up.
Yeah. Right, so now we're going to do a bit of it's a bit of film trivia time now, isn't it?
Yes, mate.
So let's do that.
Film trivia time.
Okay, Pete, do you want to kick us off? Because I feel like I've actually rambled my head off.
Yeah, mate. It was the first animated Disney movie to have an interracial romance.
Interesting. And
this was 1995.
I know, that is just...
When did the slaves get freed? So. When did Abraham Lincoln do that?
Yeah.
And how long did it take for an interracial romance in a Disney film? 1995.
When was Civil Rights?
In the 60s.
Yeah. It was the first kiss on TV in America.
Yeah.
Star Trek before the Civil Rights kind of movement came to a head. So Disney, where
and this
were
wasn't
you?
Even this, the, he wasn't you? Kissing a black woman, mate. Remember, yeah. it was a Native American.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know when like the first interracial kiss with a black person was.
I mean, I was sat in the fucking cinema watching it with my black mum and my white father watching it. A historic moment that should have happened probably 50 years prior to that. I mean, yeah, insane. Very progressive. Thanks,
yeah,
Disney.
Cheers,
thank
Disney.
You. Also, why did they use this as a story to make a Disney film out of? I mean, every film we've done, Pinocchio, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, all that kind of stuff, they're either coming from childhood fables, Hans Christian Andersen stories, kids' stories,
yeah.
Or mythical stories that were told to children in the Renaissance time, you know. They're all kind of rooted in child literature.
Yeah.
But this is, there's nothing childlike about this story at all. I mean, I don't know where they got the idea for it. I mean, well, I do know why they got the idea for it, because it coincided with the Rodney King thing and all the protests and stuff. This is what I got off IMDb.
Oh, did it?
And they did it partly to capitalise on all the racial unrest that was going on in America at the time.
Oh, my God.
That is some weird logical jump someone's made there. And then there's all sorts of weird
just to, like, cash in on just
cash in on the kind of racial unrest, because it was a hot topic at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, nowadays it's that kind of stuff is resurfacing again, and you're seeing stuff like the O.J. Simpson serial that's come out, because that's supposedly an adult way of addressing that. But that's like saying, oh, should we just do a cartoon to address it? You know, to address the Black Lives Matter movement? Should we just have, like, you know, Ren and Stimpy just, like, shagging each other, and then suddenly Ren turns into a black guy? I don't know, that's the first thing to come out.
Cashing in on the zeitgeist.
On the zeitgeist.
Is that what it is? Is that what it is? Did I do that right?
Yeah, yeah, you got that.
I said zeitgeist.
There you go.
Yeah.
Denouement. there was lots of people who criticised it left, right and centre. It was a hot potato, wasn't it, doing a kids' film about race. You know, you've got to have people from all sides saying, oh, it's gone too far, or it's not gone far enough. There were some people actually blaming this film for not actually having gone far enough.
Yeah.
What do they want? We've just had the Savages song.
Just an actual rape scene in one of the tents.
Yeah. What do they want? God. Have you got anything else? I've got to move things along a bit.
There's
so many historical inaccuracies.
There's
aren't
an
there?
Actor and Native American activist called Russell Means, yeah. Who provides the speaking role for Powhatan. Is that Powhatan? Is that I think that's Pocahontas' father. Anyway, he's a Native American.
Yeah.
And he said that this film is the single best representation of American Indians that Hollywood has ever done.
Oh, my God. Fucking hell.
Have you seen it?
That's depressing.
Yeah.
Could you imagine?
The single best representation of Native Americans. There's a fucking skunk in this film that steals biscuits off a dog. Daniel Day-Lewis in his bloody Last of the Mohicans. What was that about? Have you seen Last of the Mohicans?
Yeah, that was about the same time that this was released, actually.
Was that about the Native Americans?
Kind of, yeah. It was, yeah.
Good. Because yeah. I haven't seen that film.
Yeah,
that would have been really bad if that was the best.
But we've got the elephant in the room, though, is the massive historical inaccuracy that is the essence of this film, which is Pocahontas was actually 11 years old when she met John Smith.
Oh my God! Really?
Yeah, they had to increase her age, because they said by increasing Pocahontas' age into a young woman meant that we were choosing to be socially responsible rather than factually responsible.
Oh my God!
So yeah, they really bent over backwards to kind of fit their agenda by making her older. And she only ever met John Smith. She didn't actually have a romance with him. She had a romance with someone else. Went back to England and then died 3 years later because she picked up the flu or something over there, because she didn't have the kind of immune system to fight it off.
I didn't even think
so
of
her life was really, really tragic.
Yeah, I didn't
she died
even
when
think
she was
of
19, I think,
the original, like the actual story that it's based on. That's really interesting.
Yeah, because it's got mythical status now, but it was based originally on facts. There is the real story of it, which does not really resemble the Pocahontas film.
Yeah, yeah.
But she did fall in love with an English settler, and they did, and their connection did prevent the two tribes from warring, but for like 3 years, and then it went tits up. Obviously,
it prevented it for 3 years,
something like that, for a few years. This is what I read.
Yeah,
which is what kick-started the whole myth, because it fit this nice story of love conquers all.
Yeah.
So there was a grain of truth in it.
Right, okay.
But, you know, like I said, she came over to England, got the flu and died at 22.
Yeah.
And then he died a few years later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she was 11.
She was 11.
And how old would he have been?
She was 11 when she met John Smith, but she didn't actually settle down with John Smith. She just met him.
Right, okay.
And then she actually married someone else later when she was 19. Yeah. Moved to England with him and then died. But John Smith was a bit of a non-entity, really. But they just used him because he kind of fit.
What kind of connection would they have possibly have had?
She literally just met him.
Yeah.
But then he did get captured by some Native Americans and then was released. So they just combined the two stories.
Oh, right, okay.
Because it sounds good that she falls in love with him, he's captured, and there's a big war, and then he goes off.
Yeah.
It's kind of, it just fits this nice narrative of love conquers all kind of thing.
Oh, right.
So that's what happened there. So they just completely shat all over that, and they just twisted it all to suit their nice Disney ends, really.
Yeah.
And then, but it's got like, quite a bittersweet ending, though, isn't it, when they say goodbye to each other?
Yeah, because nothing's accomplished from this film at all. I don't really get it because like she says it's all about taking her own path, like choosing her own path and everything. You'd think that she would have chose to, you know, get on the ship and just go to a completely like other world.
Yeah.
But the path she takes is just the one that she's already been on.
She continues with the provincial life.
Yeah. I felt really unsatisfied. And I thought, thinking back to when I saw it as a kid, I always thought they ended up together. Obviously, I thought that.
Of course you would,
yeah.
Happily ever after. That's
but
Disney,
he goes. That's one of the best bits of the film, actually. The fact when he's just going away on the ship at the end.
It gets a bit real.
Yeah, it gets a bit real. It's like, oh right,
totally right.
Yeah.
Have you got anything else to bring to the table before I bring on another segue?
The guy who I think it's Richard Ashman who wrote the lyrics to Aladdin was asked to do these songs for Pocahontas, but he died soon after. Aladdin, and I think it's a good job that he did die, because we know what he did with the film of Aladdin and all sort of the racist stereotypes and everything in that. I think if he did this film, Pocahontas would have just been smearing herself in shit and running around a fire, just going like for like an hour and a half.
John Smith would have had a fucking swastika tattooed to the end of his nose. Right, let's have a segue.
Bad nostalgia.
Look, Simba, everything the light touches is our kingdom.
And this will all be mine?
Everything.
Everything the light touches. What about that shadowy place?
That's beyond our borders. You must never go there, Simba.
We'll ruin your childhood.
We certainly will ruin your childhood, and I've not done a plug for the show yet. Do follow us at Bad Nostalgia. Not at Bad Nostalgia. Get rid of the I and the A at the end. At Bad Nostalgia on Twitter. This isn't working when I say this, so if you don't want to do that, look us up on Facebook. Follow our new, brand spanking, gorgeous Facebook page, Bad Nostalgia, and also follow us on iTunes, Bad Nostalgia. Subscribe, get our back catalogue, keep listening to us. We're getting better. I've loved this show. Have you loved this
episode? Loved it, mate. It's been great. I love it that you love the show so much. You can tell you think that millions of people around the world are just mistyping Bad Nostalgia, and that's why we don't have millions of followers. That's what you genuinely think, isn't it?
Followers, yeah.
No, you just went then. You went, because, you know, you're clearly not getting it. You said that with no irony whatsoever.
Right, Pete, we've got 30 seconds before we need to wrap up.
Next
horror.
Week.
Horror.
Oh, horror. Oh, three.
Okay, three for me, two. Violence.
Four.
Five for me. Sex.
Two.
Two for me. Morality.
Five.
Five for me. Racial.
Oh, five.
Five for me as well. Right, 5, 10, 15, 20. 20, and
I think I've got 19.
You're about 19.
I think so.
We'll listen back to it.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening so much, guys. Next week.
The Jungle Book.
I think it might be.
Yeah, yeah.
You say that every week.
We say that every week.
Say every week. Okay, maybe we mix it up and it's not Jungle Book. Maybe it's Snow White.
Yeah, okay. Maybe.
We love you.
Let's look at the schedule.
Yeah.